Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow.
Two questions I'd like to pose to us today. Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Do we have faith today? Because if we don't have faith today, difficult times can come our way. If not, if you're not ready, would you like to get yourself ready? It's very simple. Scripture says this: For he, God, says that in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Mark chapter 13, and we will also be looking at Matthew 24, so you can go ahead and turn there if you'd like to be ahead of the game. You guys ready to get into the Word? Just study the Word a little bit today. On the screen, you see that the topic of the message today is the coming of the Son of Man. How many, by a show of hands, believe that Jesus is going to come back to this earth? How many, by a show of hands, know exactly when He will return? Okay. Well, yes, when He's ready. In His time. There you go. And all that. It's a mystery. But there is this topic that we're looking at, the coming of the Son of Man, which refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And Mark addresses it, and Matthew addresses it, and many other scriptures address it too. It is very important that we're able to distinguish between two events that are important, that are tied together. One is called the rapture of the church. And I believe that Scripture reveals that Jesus Himself will come in the sky. He will not touch foot on the earth, and He will take His church from this planet to be with Him in heaven until He returns to this earth. And then we, as His church, will come back with Him to planet earth as He sets up His kingdom on this earth. Does that sound right? Yeah. It's important that we believe that. As I grew up, and I grew up in a certain denominational church, I never even heard about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I never even heard of the rapture. And I believe today, potentially, in our city alone, there's many, many churches where this subject is never, ever addressed. It's very important, as we will see, that we understand this, we study this, and we can distinguish it in Scripture. Because the days will come for the Church of Jesus Christ, and definitely for the nation of Israel, that difficulties, troublous times, challenges can come upon this earth. And if we don't understand the return of the Lord, one in the rapture of the church and another in the second coming, we could get discouraged. But as we understand the truth, then we will be encouraged, and then we will be driven even more so, I believe, as we continue in this earth to tell other people about the truth that is found in Scripture. So starting today, I'd like to give a little comparison between these two, quote, events, the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ, and how they are contrasted. At the rapture, Jesus is coming for His church. At the second coming, He comes with His church. At the rapture, Jesus comes in the air. At the second coming, He comes to the earth. At the rapture, only Christians will see Jesus. At the second coming, Scripture tells us every eye will see Him. The rapture happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The second coming happens slowly. It will take some time, and we'll see that as we go into Scripture today. The tribulation begins with the rapture. The millennial kingdom begins with the second coming of Jesus Christ. At the rapture, Satan will not be bound. At the second coming of Jesus, Satan will be bound. The rapture presents a message of hope and comfort. The second coming presents a message of wrath and judgment for those that have not given their heart to Jesus. At the rapture, Christ Himself will gather the saints. At the second coming, the angels will gather the elect. The rapture is imminent, I believe. Could happen at any moment. There's no signs that are necessary to be fulfilled. The second coming is predictable. It cannot happen without many signs, and we'll talk about that today. The rapture is a time of joy. The second coming is a time of mourning, again, for those that don't know Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 13, let's begin in verse 24. Speaking of the coming of the Son of Man, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But in those days, after that tribulation, notice that. In those days, in the end times, prior to this, we've seen different things. We've seen the Great Tribulation described and all that. So, but in these those days, notice it's after that tribulation. That is something to mark the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's after the tribulation, according to the flow of Scripture, the Great Tribulation. Notice what will happen. The sun will be darkened, and we'll come back to five events that we see in Mark and Matthew 2. Also, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then He will send His angels and gather together His elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. In there are events that we will see. Now keep your finger there in Mark 13. Go back to Matthew 24, verse 29. Some other things are added in the Gospel of Matthew that we do not have in the Gospel of Mark. Verse 29, chapter 24, Matthew. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, remember, these are the words of Jesus, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. We have that in Mark chapter 13. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great trumpet, sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Father, we just pray and present these scriptures to You that You might rightly divide Your word of truth into our hearts today. That we would understand both sides of this, rejoicing for those that know You, but sadness for those that don't. And so, Lord, touch our hearts, change us, give a passion today, Lord, if we need a greater passion or a passion for the lost, that we would not withhold these truths that we see, but we would spread them and speak to those that we love and those that we will meet. So we thank You for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, Jesus reveals, these two passages, Jesus reveals exactly when He will return in His second coming, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Keep in mind that what we have before us in Matthew 24, Mark chapter 13, is prophetic scripture first intended for the Jews in answer to the first question of verse 4 of Mark chapter 13, and also prophetic scripture that has another fulfillment for the nation of Israel in specific, but also the nations of the world, as Jesus answers the second question that we see there. So if you look, because we've returned to Mark chapter 13, I pray that you look at verse 4 of Mark chapter 13 and you see two questions are presented by his disciples. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all things will be fulfilled? These things would be that the temple would be destroyed. We've talked about that. That would be in 70 AD. And when all these things would be fulfilled is the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth again when he returns. Remember, he's speaking to his disciples. He's trying to encourage them because he knows that he's going to that cross and he only has hours yet to live. And he wants to bring words that are important for them, words that are encouraging. It is vital for us to note that Jesus did not return immediately after the downfall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Does anybody think that he returned in 70 AD to this earth and stepped foot on this and established his kingdom? I don't see it. But there is a doctrine out there that unfortunately people embrace that he did and he wrapped up everything in 70 AD. No way. No way. As we study scripture in an honest way. Therefore, what did he mean concerning the timing of his return? Now, look on the screen here, Luke chapter 21. There's some things that we need to ask ourselves about as we read this passage. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. This is in the days of the tribulation just before the return of Jesus. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And notice this next part. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Jerusalem is a key. It's a key to prophecy. It's a key for us to watch what's going on so we might know the times that we live in. And notice it says in Luke there, the times of the Gentiles. Now, we need to ask ourselves, what are the times of the Gentiles? Very simply, Christ said that the fall of Jerusalem was only the beginning of the tribulation of the Jews. Their tribulation continues until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles are from the moment that Nebuchadnezzar came into Israel and conquered Jerusalem and tore down the temple. And the times of the Gentiles continue until the second coming of Jesus Christ. You've got the destruction of the temple, Nebuchadnezzar, Jerusalem destroyed at that point. And then you have the times of the Gentiles begin at that point when Israel and Jerusalem have been under the control and persecuted by the Gentiles throughout century after century after century, and it will stay that way until what we just read about in Mark chapter 13 and Matthew chapter 24, the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand that. Now, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, it speaks of another event that we need to be very aware of. It's called the fullness of the Gentiles, not the times of the Gentiles, but the fullness of the Gentiles. What does that mean? The fullness of the Gentiles began with the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2 and will continue until the rapture of the church. Two different times, things that we have to understand as we go through scripture, and we cannot go like this with those scriptures and mix them up because they are two separate events that are important to recognize, tied all into prophecy, tied into the prophetic clock of God through the century dealing with mankind. But it's important for us to understand. It truly, truly is. The accuracy of the Lord's words is clearly seen by simply breaking down the verses of Luke and thinking through world history since Christ. So let's go back to Luke here just for a moment and look at five things in Luke that are important for us to answer the question that we have, or the statement. Notice there is still great distress in the land of Israel during the second coming, during this time that Luke is addressing. Still great distress in the land of Israel. Is there distress today? There is. Secondly, there is still great wrath upon his people. Luke is talking about that. Is there still wrath upon his people throughout the world? Yes. Over 5 million Jews were persecuted during World War II. But it still happens today, and there's persecution and trouble in the midst of Israel. Many Jews shall fall by the sword. We know that. They have died. Many are still captive or dispersed in all of the nations. They're not all back at this point. Some cannot get out of certain nations. And Jerusalem, during this time, Luke tells us, is still trodden down of the Gentiles. Is Jerusalem still in control in some ways by the Gentiles? Absolutely. Who controls the Temple Mount? What is on the Temple Mount today? Two mosques. Who controls the Temple Mount? The King of Jordan today. That is there. It is still there. And we have to come to a point where that will be changed somehow and into the future. So Luke is very specific about that. No people have ever gone through such great tribulation as the Jews. They are still suffering at the hands of the Gentiles. And they shall suffer great tribulation until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. It is vital to understand that Luke's prophecy definitely points toward the double meaning of Christ's words. Since the great tribulation of the Jews in 70 AD, they have continued to suffer great tribulation through the present age, and they shall suffer right on through the great tribulation that is to occur at the end of the world, and then the return of Christ will take place. It's interesting. Go with me to Revelation chapter 16, please. Some would say, not a lot of fun to be the chosen of God. Well, it is if we make the right decision. Israel rejected God. They are still rejecting Jesus Christ as a nation. Still, when you go to Israel, you do not have freedom, even in Israel, to evangelize about Jesus Christ. You don't. They might say that there is, but there really isn't. Behind the scenes, there's great persecution. You have a missionary that preaches gospel to Jewish people, and they will be taken out of the nation sooner or later. It's the way that it is. They may be able to be under the radar for some time, but if they become on the radar, believe me, the nation of Israel and the government will begin to deal with those that preach Christ in that way. And so we still see that time. Now, let's look for a moment what this time is going to look like, this great tribulation. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because of time, but I encourage you to study it in Revelation chapter 16. Prior to this, we've seen the seals opened up by Christ, who was in heaven there. And in chapter 5, you see Christ there. And then we begin to see the beginning of sorrows. Then we come to this time of great tribulation. In verse 1, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" This is the great tribulation. First bowl, loathsome sores. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. Chapter 13 of Revelation, study that and you'll see the mark of the beast. Verse 3, "Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died." Verse 4, "Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, 'You are righteous, O God, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged those things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due.' And I heard another from the altar saying, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.'" And look at verse 8, "The fourth bowl is poured out. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of the God who has power over their plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." Has any of these four events happened at this point to the extent that we see? No. We're talking total devastation comes upon this earth. So we know that we're not in the time of the great, great tribulation. We're ahead of that. It is coming, but we're ahead of it. Look at verse 10. "Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. Judgment's even going to fall upon the Antichrist and the kingdom that is set up. We'll see that in chapter 17 and 18. And then in the sixth bowl, Euphrates is dried up. The sixth angel poured out its bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Back in Revelation chapter 9, we see where there's an army coming, a 200 million man army coming, and this could be the drying up of the Euphrates so they can come there into the Middle East for the battle. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole earth to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, that final battle that we will see before the returning of Jesus Christ. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame, and they gathered them together to a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. And then the seventh bowl, verse 17. Then the seventh bowl angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities and the nations fell, and the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Judgment's coming upon the world system that is anti-Christ, anti-God. Then every island, verse 20, fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Are there still islands on this planet? Yes. So we know we're not in this time. And so when people try to come up to you and say it's all been accomplished in 70 AD, be careful. They're not taking Scripture systematically and comparing Scripture with Scripture. But that's the time that's coming upon this earth. Now, that is not a very positive message. Anybody excited about that? No, we are not. And that's why our hearts should be moved to speak to our loved ones, to guide our children in Scriptures and love them and raise them, because this time is real. And for those that do not understand this time, and for those that do not change the attitude of their heart and yield and mourn before they pass this earth and repent of their sins and give their lives to Christ, then they'll be subject to this difficulty if they are still on this earth. But unfortunately, there is a place called hell too. It is vital to understand the truth, the prophecy, and it points to the double meaning, as I said. Since the great tribulation of the Jews in 70 AD, they have continued to suffer great tribulation through the present age, and they shall suffer right on through, again, I say, the great tribulation. It's important for us to understand. So in Mark chapter 15, verses 24 through 27, and Matthew, we see chapter 24, verses 29 through 31, there's five different distinct events that we must look at. It's very important. The first event is that the sun will be darkened. We spoke of that. In other words, the whole universe is going to open up and receive God, including the astronomical bodies. And every man is going to know beyond any doubt that he is coming in all the power and glory of God himself. Christ says he is coming with power and great glory. He is coming that every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things upon the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Anybody say praise the Lord? That is coming. But in the midst of it is troublous times, judgment. In Joel, you'll see this on the screen right now, chapter 3. The Old Testament speaks of this time. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. for those that are there on planet during this time and going through this time. Scriptures like Joel, I've got so many other scriptures that point this, Isaiah chapter 13 and others. They will look at these scriptures and then they will be able to understand and discern where they are in the midst and that Jesus is just around the corner as they continue and that they will persevere through the difficulties that are going through. It's right here in Scripture, and they must understand that. The second event of the Lord's return, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. What is this sign? Christ doesn't specifically say. A lot of people have different thoughts about this sign. I'll give you four of them. Some say the sign will be a star, just like the star that proclaimed His birth. How many believe, by a show of hand, it will be a star? Okay. The second one, let's try this one. Others will say that it'll be His Shekinah glory that will be in heaven, when Jesus returns. How many believe that one? Okay. Only a couple. That's okay. That's respectable. Okay. Because nobody knows. Number three, some, including many of the early church fathers, believe the sign will be the cross of Christ appearing in the sky. How many believe that? Okay. No takers there. Fourth, many believe the sign will be simply the appearance of the Son of Man Himself. How many believe that? Yeah, I kind of lean that way because you guys are leaning that way. Nobody knows. You know, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety and all that. But listen to the word of Jesus in Matthew 26:64. It is as you said, nevertheless, I say to you, this is Jesus' words, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. That's kind of why I lean, that's what we're going to see. That's going to be the sign. There is no other sign. It's going to be He Himself that's going to come back. The third event of the Lord's return is that all the tribes or the people of the earth will mourn those that have rejected, not accepted Jesus Christ, because they will see beyond any question that Christ is the Son of Man. They will realize that they ignored, rejected, neglected, abused, and cursed Jesus. They will know that they have missed His salvation and that they are now to be judged. Every man has a choice to make. Man shall mourn now over his sins here on earth, or he shall mourn when Christ returns. Every man and woman must experience a godly sorrow on earth that leads to repentance now, or he or she shall experience worldly sorrow that leads to eternal sorrow when Christ comes. It has to be true repentance. Has to be for a person to be forgiven of all their sins. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn those that do not know Jesus. And the fourth event, concerning the Lord's return, we've seen in these two passages, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. His coming will be visible to all. Somehow, I don't know, but somehow God's God, He'll make it happen. Somehow all the people of the earth will see Christ coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Look at chapter 18, verses 10 through 12 on the screen. And He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place. His canopy around Him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. We're speaking of God now. Now the brightness before Him, His thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. Scripture says in Psalm 104, He makes the clouds His chariot. In Isaiah 19, behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud. It's amazing. He's coming. We believe that today? He's coming. And Jesus wanted the disciples to know the times that they were to fall under. Because when they came to 70 AD, many people believed this was the end. But it wasn't. The times of the Gentiles were not complete. And the fifth and last event that we'll talk about today is that He will send His angels. There are three points here in this verse. First, Christ will send forth His angels. He is God, the Lord of angels. Second, Christ will send forth His angels with the great sound of a trumpet. The trumpet was used, as you know, to call an assembly of people together and to call His people into battle. And third, the angels will gather together the Lord's elect. The elect may be but a few at this time when compared to the mass of humanity, unfortunately. But there will be a remnant of genuine believers scattered all over the earth. A remnant will have, who will have endured to the end, and they will be saved. The Word of God assures us of this. Christ will give the redeemed the most wonderful blessings imaginable when He returns to earth. But we must always remember this sad fact. Not everyone is going to receive these blessings. People will reject the Lord and refuse to obey His commandments. Those that do that will be cut off from God. He will not bless them because they rejected Him. He will reject them. But again, this will not be the fate of the redeemed, the believers, the people who truly follow the Lord and seek to obey His holy commands. They will be blessed. We will be blessed beyond measure when Christ returns. Praise the Lord. But there is that promise for the Christians. But there is the challenge for those that are unsaved. And then there is that challenge for the Christians. Again, as I state this, will we share with anyone we can the truths that we have in Scripture? We must study Listen to Scripture as it speaks of Jesus' return and the blessings that will be brought to those that trust in Him. In John chapter 14, 1 through 3, it should be on the screen right now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Anybody say, Yahoo? Praise the Lord. That's true. And if I go and prepare a place for you, the words of Jesus, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's speaking into the future. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. I love this. It says, for our citizenship, look at the blessing for us that believe is in heaven, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that we may be fashioned unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, we get another glimpse of blessings. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Bring it on, Lord. And look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What greater blessing could there be? We're going to be like Him. We're going to live forever and ever. We're going to be with Him. And that's the message we get to tell other people. I found this quote, and I couldn't find the person who spoke this, but I'd like to share it with you. It's a great comparison. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom we exalt, is not just a baby in a manger. He is not just a character in a children's story. He is far more. The first time He came veiled in the form of a child. The next time He comes, and we believe it will be soon, He will come unveiled, and it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all the world just who He really is. The first time He came, a star marked His arrival. The next time He comes to this earth, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and He Himself will light it. The first time He, Jesus, came, wise men and shepherds brought Him gifts. The next time He, Jesus, comes, He will bring gifts, rewards for His own. The first time He came, there was no room for Him in this earth. The next time He comes, the whole world will not be able to contain His glory. The first time He came, only a few attended His arrival, some shepherds and some wise men. The next time He comes, every eye shall see Him. The first time He came as a baby, soon He will come as sovereign King and Lord. That is the history. That is the truth we find in Scripture. There is the rapture of the church. I'm not going to get into the battle of when that rapture of the church comes. It just tells me no man knows the day nor the hour. That's good enough for me. I have my own feelings. I'll study that. Lord willing, I'm looking into trying to present those beliefs here on a Sunday morning for us to consider. But all I know is that He's returning, and I can't wait. But there's those that I love, those that we work with, those that we go to school with, those that are in Ethiopia, those that are all throughout the world that do not know Jesus Christ. And guess who is the light and the salt of this earth? We are. We are the ones. Two questions I'd like to pose with us, to us today. It's very simple ones, but I believe important ones. Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Do we have faith today? Because if we don't have faith today, difficult times can come our way. And number two, if not, if you're not ready, would you like to get yourself ready? It's very simple. Scripture says this, "For he," God says, "in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." For me and my wife, it was 44 years, 43, whatever, a long time ago, 43 years ago. You know, for you, I hope you know your day. But if you don't know that you're saved today, then today is the acceptable day. Simply all you have to do is believe. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to go to church. It's good that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. I really am. It's good to gather. We see that. But all you have to do is simply believe. Trust in. Rely upon. Adhere to the truth that's in Scripture. And then surrender your life and walk with Him. Be in the Word. It's very simple. Very simple. In Romans chapter 10, it says, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And then in 2 Corinthians, "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Many times I've seen many people, oh yeah, you ask them if they say they believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, tell me who your Jesus Christ is. Well, he's a good man. Yes, he is. I won't argue with that. Tell me a little bit more about Jesus Christ. Well, he's a prophet. Yeah, I won't argue with that. But who is Jesus Christ? I always like to go a little bit further to you. Who is Jesus Christ? And that's where you find out. Do they believe that he is God himself that came to this earth? And he came and became one of us. Born through a virgin, walked and lived on this earth, never rebelled against the Father. And there he could be the perfect sacrifice according to Old Testament scriptures. We see that in Isaiah 52 and 53. He would be the Lamb of God. He would die on that cross. But they would put him in that grave and he would rise from the dead to the living. And he ascended into heaven. And guess what? He's coming again. He's coming again very soon. That's the message. Do you believe in your heart today? If you die today, do you know you're going to go to be with the Lord forever and ever? If not, and you would like eternal life, then all you have to do is pause as the worship team's going to come up, and all you have to do is pause and say, "Jesus, forgive me. I believe in you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender to you. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. I repent." Receive the Lord. And at that moment, the Bible says, you receive eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever and ever. Do we serve a great God? We do. Let's stand and let's pray. And I pray now as the worship team is coming, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you are here and you're not assured of your salvation, and you'd like to give your heart to Jesus, then just repeat this prayer after me, please. Say, "Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I admit that I've sinned against you, Father. Jesus, I believe in you. I thank you for dying for my sins. Forgive me of my sins, Father. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Today I surrender. Jesus, I want you to be the Savior of my life and the Lord of my life." If that was your prayer, it's important that you know in your heart that Jesus has forgiven you of all your sins. Father, we thank you for the goodness of people by faith just giving their life to you. Holy Lord, we're so excited, so in love with you. Help us to tell others about you. Bless those that raised their hands today. Whatever was going on in their hearts, Lord, meet them in a very special way. Bring them your assurance, your confirmation, your peace and comfort. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the